Hey, everybody, this is Warren Sharp, NFL analyst over at Sharp Football Analysis. I want to welcome you to the Ringer Gambling Show. Join me on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays each week during the NFL season with guests Chris Vernon, Ben Solak, and Joe House to guide you through the NFL betting landscape. We'll be talking spreads, game totals, parlays, player props, futures, and much, much more. Be sure to follow the Ringer Gambling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
What's up, everybody? Time for your favorite part of the week and your favorite podcast. This is The Pod Has Spoken. I'm your host, Tyson Apostle, and I am here today with a very special guest, a Survivor superfan and senior writer for the NBA at ESPN, Ramona Shelburne. Ramona, how are you?
I'm good. Do you know how excited I was when I got your message to come do this?
I was hoping you would, because there was three ways it could have gone. Like, no, I hated you on Token Sheens. You treated people like you were better than them, which I was.
You were
and
better.
And then the other one was like, I love you. Or then the other one was with indifference. So I'm glad that you...
I think my husband was actually more excited.
Was he?
I was like, Nev, Tyson wrote me. His name is Nevin. I'm like, Nevin, Tyson wrote me. He wants me to come on his podcast. He's like, Tyson? Oh my God. Like, you were, well, you had sort of a metamorphosis in the second time when you played the last time, right?
Sure.
Like, you became a little kinder and gentler, but
I think I was always that kind and gentle. I just masked it more.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, you're like, on the first one, you were sort of, you were leaning into the role, like the villain role. Right. And you kind of understand and yeah, you know how the edit's going to be.
I was young and single and arrogant and figured that I was like in the best shape of my life. And I knew I had to go hard. Because then you get invited back, which is part of the game. So,
right.
Yeah. So are you doing this podcast just to spite your husband? Like, so he's jealous?
Oh, yeah. He's very jealous. He'll probably come in here once he gets the kid down for his nap.
Anyway.
Just so he can say hi.
Okay, yeah. Good. That'll be great. we also, last but not least, my fact checker, appointed by the network, but whom I've grown to love, Riley McAtee. Riley, what's up, dude?
Hey, Tyson. I'd like to think that we're friends. Not appointed by the network. I think that we're just, we got a good thing going here.
I mean, initially, I think the network played matchmaker. They knew what they were doing. They knew that we'd become fast friends. And so they were like, this is going to be perfect. It's going to be a grand slam. And, we're breaking listenership records week by week, which is always fun to do.
And, yeah, what are we up to now? A few million per episode?
At least, I would say. Yeah, I haven't gotten...
Just wait till I retweet you. Just wait.
Ramona's going to bring this to the next level. Ramona,
what
how
if
come...
I get Woj to retweet us? What if I get Woj to do that? That'd be...
I think you could.
Yeah.
Also, why are you and I not commentating on all pickleball on ESPN?
Right. That's right. That was the game of the summer when everybody went to the bubble down there in Orlando.
Yeah, you don't have to
tell
me.
Apparently, the refs are really good at it.
Yeah, let's become the voices of pickleball together. We have a doozy of an episode this week. Crazy, really crazy.
It got good
so fast, right? We were all kind of like wondering about a lot of it. We're still curious as to how it's going to go, but this episode gave us a lot of clarity on how this season will hopefully shape up. And it was wild. So before we get into the episode exactly, Ramona, what are your thoughts on the season in general? And give us a little background into your Survivor fandom.
Sure. Okay, so I've watched every episode of every Survivor season ever since Richard Hatch. Okay.
As it aired on TV.
Like, okay. When I was an intern at Sports Illustrated for Women in New York when I was 21. Okay. So I'm 42 now. And I was 21. I turned 21 in New York City. It was so fun. And that was the show of the summer. That was like what everybody was watching. And we didn't have like a recorder, you know, but like we were in the dorms at Columbia. So we just had to, it was like appointment viewing. If you missed it, you missed it. So we just watched it every week, all me and my roommates. And the only thing that was really sad, I remember I didn't get to watch the last two episodes because I flew away. I went off to Europe for a couple of weeks. So I had them recorded but that was like the dark ages when there was not really internet and email everywhere that I would find out. And I successfully did not find out who won until I got home and could watch what my parents had recorded for me. So I'm like that level survivor. Like we don't always watch it the night of anymore because we have a kid and I'm busy and I'm out of the game, but we watch it within 24 hours because you have to stay off the internet.
Yeah.
Like if you don't watch it fast, you'll find out what happens. And then it's just, I'm upset. And it's like the one show that my husband and I always make time for. And we watch it together. So this week, actually, because you and I got to watch it a little bit early before it comes out, he's really jealous of me. Like I went in, I might have to watch it again with him when it comes out later today.
If you have to watch an episode over, this is the one to do it probably, I know. Right? Because there's a lot to unpack.
But then I can't say anything. He gets mad if there's something on my face, like if I show which way it's going to go and who's going to, yeah, this is a good episode for that.
You should, just predict what's going to happen like 2 seconds before it happens the entire episode for him. So a little fun fact here, our paths could have crossed a lot sooner because I too am 42.
Okay.
And I was being courted by Columbia to join their swim team.
Ah.
Which I ultimately decided not to because I did not know what I wanted to do with my life and thought that was an expensive way to figure out what I want to do with my life. And then I also moved to Europe shortly after. So but even though it didn't happen then, it's happening now. And yeah. I feel really good about this, Ramona.
I do too. Like I live my life walking around going, what's the first rule of survivor? Right? Like yeah. I literally have like survivor rules that enter into my life because I think it applies to all these things. And there's a part of me that wishes that I could go on the show one time where I would have. I don't know how I would do it now with a 3-year-old, but my husband and I both have like strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
I think I'd be good at the social game. I'd be pretty good physically. I'm like, I can camp and do all that stuff. But I'm also like a little too nice and I'm not a very good liar. So I would have a hard time backstabbing and like keeping it. You know, I would have a hard time.
It gets easier. It gets easier the more you dislike people.
I have so, that makes sense because you really are living with them all the time.
Yeah. You're just like, I got to get rid of these people.
And the truth is like in my line of work, like I have to be able to talk to all sorts of people. Like you have to talk to executives, billionaire owners, players, family members of players. Like you have to be somewhat adaptable in who you talk to. And then
right.
I think, and you have to get, and my job literally is to get people to tell me things and feel comfortable telling me things, which is, I think, exactly what you do on Survivor, right?
Right. And that's not your job today because that's my job today.
All right.
Right?
Can I tell you in this episode, I'm so angry with everyone for feeling like they need to tell everyone about every advantage and idol that they find. Shut the hell up.
That's new school Survivor. If you go out, God. If you go out, just sit there. Don't share any information. Don't make moves.
Anything.
And everything will come back to you. And that's like, that was my struggle with Winners at War is that you could not tell anybody anything without it just immediately being shared with everyone.
Yeah.
With that, let's get into the episode.
Yeah.
So we have a little, this is the first time that we get like a real previously on because we have a 2-part episode here.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows like the idols getting activated. It shows where all the owners of the advantages are and what advantage they have, shows the merge feast challenge and the merge alliances that are kind of the lines that are being drawn. And then it ends with Erica and the hourglass and then takes us to Exile Island in the pouring rain, which is something we always love on Survivor is watching other people struggle in the elements, right?
Right. And it was also like, it always ends up being the girl or person on the show that can least have, like you're most worried about, like, oh, that poor girl.
They're going to die.
Yeah. I watch Naked and Afraid too. So I kind of know that like how people are supposed to do that. And you know, I think that, I mean, you're not completely alone, right? There's a camera crew out there with you.
Yeah, it's usually if you're on exile, if you're on exile, they kind of keep their distance and try to make you feel alone, but they're still present.
They're still present.
Yeah. On our Edge of Extinction on Winners at War, we got the pouring rain, and I happened to not be there. And a little insider info here. It was pouring rain on Exile Island, or on Edge of Extinction, which might be the same as Exile Island here. It doesn't look the same, so I have my doubts. All of the contestants went and hid in this cave that they found that was just like protecting them from the rain. But the harder it rained, the more it smelled like human urine.
Yeah.
Come to find out, the camera crew for years and years had been using that cave as a latrine.
What?
And all of the contestants were sitting there laying in it to hide from the rain. And I wrote a song about it while I was out there that I had to perform for production many, many times, but it never got shared. And I can share it with you now. Do you want me to share the song with you?
Yes.
Riley, do you want to hear the Piss Cave song?
Yeah. No, you can't bring it up and not do it.
Okay. I haven't done it for a long time.
How did they not put that in some outtakes or something?
Because I feel like they would have had to pay me royalties for how dope the song was. This is my first take, only take. I might make some mistakes, but we're going to do it, okay? London, Los Angeles, Ibiza, Tokyo, Fiji, Piss cave. Woo. And it went on like that with lots of energy.
Yeah.
Everybody there, Boston Rob, Parv, Ethan, we were having a huge dance party. And
how is this not shown?
The producers asked me to sing it probably 30 times in interviews. And each time I said, you're never showing this. It's a song. I don't think you can show it because you got to get like some type of like royalties and other stuff going into it because it's a creation of art. And they never did show it. But
I feel like I was at the club.
It was awesome, right?
Right? Like, we just went out in Berlin.
Should we get that professionally recorded?
I think so. You can put some effects on it, too.
Yeah, a lot. We'll talk to our producers and probably come up with something. So anyways, I was hoping Erica was going to make a visit to the Piss Cave, but she didn't, so I didn't get to revisit that. And then morning comes, and she has this heartfelt moment where she's saying she's becoming her most authentic version of herself. And I think Survivor can do that to you, especially when experiencing the elements like that. It kind of like strips you down. You're fatigued. You're exhausted. You have a hard time keeping your shield up. But there's others like Rupert who got edited to be a pirate, and now he has to be a pirate in his life every single day for the rest of his life, which is a miserable existence, in my opinion. If they would have been like, Tyson, you're a pirate, and then everywhere I go, I'm like, arr, matey, I'd like a Big Mac, please. And they're like, oh, you're the pirate from Survivors. Like, I didn't start that way, but now I have to be.
It's like the one-hit wonder guys from the 80s. Like, you sing like one song, and that's what you're always, right, said Fred. It's all they ever sing.
Yeah.
I'm Too Sexy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. That's all you got. You're the I'm Too Sexy guy.
And they hate the song more than anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the one thing that I felt about the her choice was, I don't know if it was the way Jeff explained her choice, okay?
It totally was.
Okay, because I was
you're making history.
Yeah, you're making history. And I'm like, wait, I don't even understand why this is a choice. In the one version, was she going to be on the team that lost, where she was eligible to get voted off? And then the other one, she wasn't eligible to get voted off.
She has immunity.
I was like, correct. So what's the choice here? You have to break the hourglass.
So I thought of this a lot too, because I thought, it's definitely no choice in this scenario.
Yeah.
But let's say the teams had been drawn differently and a different person went to Exile Island. Then you have something redrawn differently depending on your allegiances within the game, I think.
Like, let's say it was Deshaun or Danny, and they've been the guys who've been trying to throw challenges and vote Erica off. They may have wanted to just keep the team so they could just vote her off when they got back.
Right. So there's lots of scenarios, I think, that play differently. And I think that later on this episode, we see Deshaun kind of like, you know, affirm those thoughts in that, like, you know, Survivor is, you know, not always fair. So we don't know if she smashes it yet, but I mean, how could you not know? And we go to the immunity challenge. Erica comes in and Erica this season, I have enjoyed her testimonials. I think she's very bright and she's good at articulating her feelings, but she always looks like she's on the brink of tears. Like every, yeah, like she's always got the quivering chin.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm about to cry. Don't yeah, push me over the edge. And this is no different. She comes in, she talks about the turn back time advantage, which everybody's mind is blown.
Yep.
And then she admits to smashing it. And we knew there was no other choice, right?
I was, because I remember the cliffhanger, I was like, wait, did I hear that right? She, on one, she's safe. And I guess in her choice, she's essentially screwing over her old team.
Because yeah, she is making people, enemies.
Yeah.
She's making enemies for sure.
Right, because she comes from the tribe that mostly won, that was on the team that mostly won. And she still had a feeling she was at the bottom of the alliance, but at that point, if she theoretically was on their team or if she was still part of their alliance, she would, they could look at her and be like, hey, why are you putting us up to where we have to vote one of our own up, or one of us is in danger now? But I think at that point, like, why would you vote? Why would you not break that hourglass? Because now you're going to be on the team where, like, they're going to vote her up as soon as she gets there. Like, she's been there. They don't know what she has. What kind of thing. I also thought there is another opportunity where usually when you come back, it's like story time. When you come back from exile, it's like, ooh, what story are they going to tell?
You can make up the story. Yeah. Yeah. Could she have made up a story here in front of Jeff or not really?
I don't think so.
I think he would have allowed it.
Yeah.
I think if she would have spun it where she still got the truth out, like if she didn't smash it, I think she could make up whatever she wanted and Jeff might let it fly.
Yeah.
But if she smashed it, she has to admit to smashing it and the repercussions of smashing it is my theory. Yeah, like the thing she's weighing there definitely is like, how mad are the people who won that now are losers going to be versus how happy and welcoming are the people that now have immunity going to be? And where does she feel she lies with all of them? So there is a little bit of like, what's going to be the best for me here? But I think Erica's decision was pretty clear cut. I think more other contestants would have a more difficult time coming to that conclusion based on their relationships in the game. So it just worked out that way that it was so obvious, I feel. And because she smashes it, now Evie, Sydney, Nasir, Ricard, Deshaun, and Danny have to drop their buffs and compete in the challenge. To me, this is crazy.
Yep.
You're a big softball player, right, Ramona?
Yeah.
Let's say all of a sudden, just like right now, in this moment, I say that you're playing the World Series of softball in half an hour.
Yeah. Go.
Like, you're not prepared for it. Like, you have not been mentally preparing for this. It's sprung on you in the moment that you're now about to compete, which I think is extra hard. And yeah, really, really difficult. Sure, the people who now have immunity, oh, the relief of being safe, that's great. But the opposite is these people that did not have the pressure and weren't in the mindset to compete is probably quite demoralizing.
So for me, like, I played soft. I mean, when I played, I would have definitely wanted to prepare. But now I do TV, I do radio, whatever. Like, you can, I'm sort of just like, turn the light on, I'll go. Like, I'm kind of
okay.
Like, let's roll. And I kind of
so this
got
wouldn't
that,
phase you.
No, I don't think that would phase me. But you're the one who's played before, so I don't know how much psyching up you need to do, or like mental preparation, or even physical. Like, do you need to like make sure you eat right before the challenge? Like, I don't know how that goes, but
no,
like when I watched it,
to eat.
That was a hell of a Pilates challenge. Like, you need to have some serious core strength to do that. And like, even that last one where you got to, I mean, that's like a straight Pilates pike position that you had to get into. And it was really hard. I almost wanted him to use one foot instead of two. Like, didn't you feel like it was even harder with two, with they had to grab it with their toes and stuff?
Yeah.
When you were about to compete, did you train? Like, did you brush up on some puzzles? Did you prep
in the
for
moment
it?
There?
No, or right before you came on, before you,
on
before
Survivor?
You just, yeah.
Oh yeah. Before the challenge, like in the game specifically, no, it's too late for that. I put myself in a competitive mind frame, yes, but really warming up or practicing is like you're past that. Before the show, yes, I practice a lot of things, puzzles and everything, balance. But here, I think it would just, it would, I think I would adjust fine, but I can also see people who couldn't adjust to that and would be quite demoralized and downtrodden by the fact of losing immunity there. And so I thought that was a wrench. And I went back to like, oh, it's not fair. And this is like, you can't win something and then lose it on Survivor. But Deshaun, you know, he says, it's not the game I'm used to. But, you know, we heard that 41 was going to be different. And also, if we're going by it, that's not fair. The way the teams were drawn also was not fair. That was luck and happenstance.
Yeah, they got great athletes on the one team, right? They have professional football player. Every day is a professional football player.
Correct.
Like, they got the much stronger physical team. And so, like, for them to win the merge challenge, I thought was they have a huge advantage there. Like, the fact that the other team made it close, but it always seems to happen this way, doesn't it? The person
it really does. It happened to me before.
Right. Well, the person who almost wins the immunity challenge but loses it, right? So Evie and Sydney come the closest to winning, right? Like, they're right there. And you're like, I think both of them need to win. Like, I think whoever doesn't win could be very vulnerable there.
Yeah.
And Evie's ahead. They can't do anything with it. The blocked fall and all that. Sydney's right there, like right on the button. And then Ricard kind of outkicks her at the end. And it was like, he did a really good job. That looked really hard to get that in the actual hole, right?
Right.
But I think he would have been
out too.
You saw
Sydney readjust, or was it Evie that readjusted? Because she grabbed flag at the base and then realized, I can't dip my feet all the way in. I have to grab it at the top of the flag.
Yeah. And there was you kept knocking the blocks over but I thought Ricard would have been in trouble if he didn't win. So whoever lost that, those are the bottom three. And you notice like Danny and Deshaun, like they didn't do what's the other guy?
Nasir.
Thanks. Danny and Deshaun and Nasir, like they weren't really in it. And
yeah. Part of it is like when you are in that moment and know that you're on the block, there's that extra adrenaline to like really do it, especially this early on at the merge. Like, you don't want to come out as a challenge threat right now if you don't have to. I definitely know my heart is more in it the further into the game we get, knowing that if I win the first couple at the merge, I'm toast as soon as I lose something versus like kind of sitting back a little bit. But yeah, I also like in these challenges, like Jeff does a little walkthrough and stuff. And I think the really smart players see that you have to grab that flag at the top of the flag rather than, you know, learn from your mistakes. And I think some of that comes with being on the show multiple times and seeing, but you have to really like, even though this wasn't necessarily a puzzle, there are puzzle aspects to like figuring it out and, you know, making the moves the most efficient and the safest. So, So I like, is the turn back time advantage, what do you think?
Is it
yay or nay on it? Was it garbage?
I like it. The only thing I didn't like was what I pointed out before. Like, I don't think it made a lot of sense for her to not turn back time because like she would have been on the team where she could be voted out if she didn't.
Right.
So,
but to my
argument, expose yourself. Yeah.
But to my argument, somebody who felt better.
Yeah.
Like keeping not smashing it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
Completely.
But let's say you just say to her, hey, Erica, you're immune on which team do you want to join? Like, which team do you want to put up for elimination where they have to compete? You're on whatever team you're on. You're immune. Like, it doesn't mean like she didn't have to necessarily have the choice between immunity and not immunity.
Right.
Like,
right.
She was,
yeah, well,
why
make
the hell
it a little
would you put
trickier.
Yourself at risk? Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. Why would you put yourself at risk if you feel you are at risk in any capacity? But if you feel like you're not at risk and don't have immunity, then there is argument to just leaving it. So if it were somebody else, but I kind of thought like the way it played out was very, very obvious to the audience, but there could have been ways if the players were in different situations that it could have played out differently.
Like if
and been
Nasir
more of
would
a mystery.
Have gone, right? He was the other choice. And if they send Nasir, he's already got an immunity idol. And he may look at it saying, well, I don't want my tribe, who's the team that he put up for elimination. I mean, that was mostly his tribe. So he would probably not turn back time. He would probably say, no, let's get some of those ladies off.
Yeah. Riley, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I was going to bring up Nasir because I think that he probably would have not smash the hourglass. And I think that would have been to the huge disappointment of Jeff Probst and all of the Survivor producers, because it felt like this advantage was designed to get used so that then they could have this big moment. Oh, we've turned back time. But yeah, I think in the future, if they do something like this, they might tweak it some. Ramona, like you're saying, maybe it's you have immunity no matter what, or they do it a little bit differently so that then the decision-making will be a little bit different. I think the first time they just wanted to get used so everybody can kind of see how it works.
Yeah. And also maybe there's an element where you don't have to reveal what you chose. Like the game just changes and people have to wonder what you chose. Like that you, did you have any hand in it? Right.
Yeah. Like I think that there's this season specifically, it seems like you have to expose your hand way more than you had to in the past with the phrases for the idols.
Oh yeah.
And even the extra votes, you know that if somebody's going on a walk, they're getting something. And so I feel like this season, maybe this is the new era of Survivor, is like, yeah, you can get something, but everybody's going to know that you have something.
Yep.
And so, which I don't dislike. I think as a player in the game, I've always been like, you know, it's nice to kind of have a feeling of where the wrench in the cogs is going to come from and to at least prepare a little bit for that scenario. So I don't mind it. We'll see how it plays out, because this episode, I think, played out beautifully as we go back to camp after Ricard's immunity win. And now I believe there are only 5 people available to be voted out in a tribe of... Are there 12 players left now, Riley?
Yes, it's 12 and 5 are vulnerable.
Okay, incredible. And I love this. This is truly the whirlwind that you feel when you are in the game and you're on your way to tribal council, is essentially what we saw play out on camera. And I thought they did an awesome job of like really putting you in the moment, because what you're seeing on camera with everybody twisting and turning and saying what somebody else said, it's that times 10.
How long did tribals go? That's always what I want to know.
Anywhere from like usually an hour to a couple hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more discussion than what they show.
Yeah, because I think you have to, when you watch it, you're pretty clear as to who the potential victims are going to be. But when you're in the moment, Jeff peppers enough questions around that it's not as obvious.
Ah, got it.
So, and then when they edit it, then they kind of pinpoint and highlight the major players.
Yeah.
So that's how they, that's how they keep it, you know, somewhat secretive to the players about what's going to happen to them. So then it's not as easy to gain a read at Tribal Council. So I'm going to run through this camp stuff and you guys jump in. Riley, jump in if I miss anything. Everyone congratulates Ricard as they get back, but that's like giving someone thumbs up who won the lottery, that bought the lottery ticket right before you did in line. Like, you are upset. You wish it was you. And it's all you can do to smile and congratulate someone else for winning something you wanted.
And I thought he had to win. I thought Ricard absolutely had to win, because his tribe was mostly over there. He really only has Shan left, just him and Jan. So he's the odd man. And I was surprised that his name hadn't come up earlier. I also thought, there's like, and I don't know if this is just the editing or however it is, but like, you have 3 vulnerable guys now who are absolute targets in this game. Like, you have Nasir, Danny, and Deshaun. And now this is your chance on a team where, like, these are the alphas. These are the alpha males out there. Like, you got to get them out. I mean, that's usually at the merge is when the big strong guys are going to win all the individual challenges. That's when you take them out. Nasir has
an idol.
Win
the Do they win the individual immunity challenges?
They used to, right? Right. Colby was the guy who always would win.
That was season 2.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Generally, they don't anymore. It's the wiry and the puzzly people that are winning the challenges, because everything's balance based or puzzle based, which for me as a player, I'm wiry and I'm a thinker. So for me, I'm doing myself a disservice by telling everyone this. The muscly guys almost never win challenges anymore after the merge.
Yeah, they're
still the
well.
Threats.
Yeah.
Yes, because they have all that muscle to balance and they're top heavy.
Totally. And their feet are big too. Like, whenever you're on those balance things, you're like, damn, the poor guy's feet are too big. You can't stand on that. It's usually like the yoga girls, you know, the ones that could stand out there forever. They're light, you know.
It's strength to weight ratio. Right. So like the more muscle and the less fat you have, right. and like the perfect balance of like being endurance-y as yeah. well as strong. So I think that the alpha male at the merge is idea of yesteryear and no longer pertains to Survivor. But if you're going into the merge and you're not an alpha male, it's one of the easiest yeah. places to point a finger.
Right. And I'm like, why don't they get those guys out? Like, to me, Danny should be target number one. I mean, he's strong, wiry, former professional athlete, likable, doesn't have an idol. Like, get him out. I mean, I like him a lot. I think he could win. He's a really good character. But Nasir, he's got an idol. Flush the damn idol. Like, get him. I mean, this is your chance to either flush it. Like, why is Liana thinking about taking Xander's idol? Why didn't she go after Nasir's idol?
So we'll get into it because so we see everything swirling. Liana's toying with playing her advantage. She wants to steal from Xander is pretty much how it hints. And you're right. Later on, we see that Xander does a little swappity-do that's a genius. But in that moment where you suspect somebody of suspecting you, you shift your target. Totally. And that's exactly what Liana should have done. You're right. She should have just yeah. taken Nasir's. She couldn't have taken Shan. She's too tight with Shan. So she would have just like really just taken Nasir's from him. And that would have been the move, honestly. Taken Nasir's and then taken the target off of Xander and Evie and either gone like Tiffany or also send Nasir home. And so it was interesting. And in those moments, like, Liana is probably leaning too much on emotion rather than strategy in that she's never gotten along with Xander. She always feels like he's pompous and looks down at her and doesn't think she's as smart as she is. And so she has something to prove to Xander specifically. But you know what? The best thing you could do is totally shift directions.
Yeah.
Because that would prove that you're way smarter.
And it was also like she kind of sniffs it out too, right? She and like Liana and Shan at one point, I hope I'm not getting too far ahead. Are you going to highlight this?
No.
So Liana and Shan are talking and she goes, let's read this clue really carefully. Does he actually have to have the idol? Like she knew that this was a problem and they read it and they were like, and I think Shan says, oh, they're not thinking that far ahead. And she's like, oh no, they absolutely are. Right.
Yeah.
Evie and Xander are really smart.
Evie definitely is.
And,
yes.
And I felt like a lot of this goes back to my earlier point about, why the hell are you telling everybody that you have these advantages, right? Liana tells Shan. Shan goes and blabs it to Tiffany. Now Tiffany knows. Then Tiffany tells Evie. And Liana's looking at Shan like, why did you just tell her? Like, keep that tight. If you're going to be my girl, like, you got to keep it tight. And so in my business, I have a saying as a reporter, information is currency, okay? Information is currency. It is the most valuable thing we trade in. And it is when you have information, that's what people like, I'm trying to get information. You're trying to, and how do you get information? By swapping information with others, right? Like that's how you stay in the know. People call me all the time to ask what I know, right? To do an interview, but also sometimes it's sources. Like you call one person to find out what they know and they kind of want to know what you know. And they kind of like, that's the whole game. And if you are just giving it away to everybody, And I have a rule I always tell people, if you want something to be off the record, don't tell anyone. Don't tell your husband. Don't tell your friend. Don't tell your friend's friend. Because whoever you tell is going to tell three people. Whoever you tell.
Yeah.
They may not be trying to screw you over. But if you tell one person, that one person can tell three people. And one of those three people are going to tell three people. Each one. Now you're at nine people. And then by the ninth person, now they don't even care about who your information. They're not protective of your information.
Right. And that's, in my mind, when Liana got that advantage, she easily could have gone back to Shan and everyone and say it was an extra vote, just like everybody else got.
Yeah, easy.
Like, that's so easy. And yeah. then all she has to do now is then go to Shan right before tribal council, because Shan's her number one, and be like, I'm going to use an advantage tonight that I just found, or something. Like, she could say any number of things. You have to let your alliance know before you pull something like that. Otherwise, it shows that you've been keeping secrets. But She did play that a little too hard and too fast, but you are so excited in the moment that you get something. You want to share it so bad with somebody.
You know? He was like flexing too. He like, Xander gets to Tribal and he's like, oh, I'm getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting too far, right?
Yeah. No, but I do like that. But like, it's like buying, like, let's say you bought your husband the most perfect birthday present of all time, and it's a week before his birthday, and you just want to give it to him so bad because it's so perfect and you're so excited about it. And that's how this is. Like, you get any type of advantage, especially if it's something nobody's seen before, you want to share it so bad with somebody who's going to be as excited about it as you are. Problem is, on Survivor, everybody wants it. And even though they feign some sort of excitement, they're exactly. like, why isn't that me? And now I have to come after you.
Shan's got three people to give her those advantages somehow. She's amazing.
Man, she really is. It is crazy that she's done that.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
So we're at camp. Danny voices his frustration with Deshaun about what's fair because he won the challenge and it's not fair that, and then Deshaun is just like, yeah, you know, what is fair? This is Survivor. It's, you know, it's not always fair. And then we go into the whirlwind of strategy. Deshaun, Danny, Ricard, Shan, Sydney talk about sending Evie home. So Deshaun says that Nasir, Danny, and Sydney are his closest allies, which I thought was interesting because he'd formed that allegiance with Danny, Shan, and Liana that seemed like it was the tightest alliance going. So Deshaun apparently doesn't feel that way. Danny tells Liana that everyone's going to vote out Evie. And then Liana voices her allegiance to Shan, Danny, and Deshaun. So we're kind of getting the full story here about everybody. But she doesn't want to vote out Evie. And this is where it all starts to get tricky, is that as you're naming names, you're becoming a target. The more you're naming names and the more Absolutely. You name a single name, the chances of you becoming a target increase. And Liana goes to Shan and says she doesn't want to vote out Evie, but Shan is like, you have to. This is what we've got to do. And then we see Xander and Tiffany and Evie are a tight three, which I like. Mm-hmm. I like that alliance. I think that's a fun alliance, tight three. They're sticking. It didn't seem like they were all on board with Xander at first, but now it seems like since Liana's kind of jumped ship and it's been pretty obvious that those three have just, you know, out of necessity bonded.
Yeah, and I think they're going to absorb, I'm blanking on her name because she hasn't been in much of the episodes yet, the older, blonde
Heather.
Lady. Heather, yeah.
Tiffany. Yeah, Heather.
No, Tiffany's the dark-haired one.
Tiffany's and then, with them, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to absorb Heather. She's going to kind
think
of be,
so?
Yeah, because she, I mean, she fits, right? Like her and Tiffany are going to get to be friends, I think. Like they seem
how could
like
we possibly
a
know
couple.
Though?
Yeah.
We don't know anything about Heather. She's just like,
yeah, she
not,
hasn't been in much.
She's
yeah.
just not been on this season. It's insane.
She's the only thing they showed her was when she sucked in that one challenge, but kept going. Remember?
That's it. Yeah.
And yep. I was like, if I sit at home and that was my edit, I'd be so sad.
Like, yeah, it is sad. And here's the thing is like on Token Chains, my first season, there was a, like 50 something principal named Debbie.
Okay.
And she was super funny and super fun and outgoing. She hated the cameras in her face and she hated talking strategy against other people on camera. So she would always turn her shoulder and her head so that the camera couldn't see her face as she's like scheming. And they eventually pulled her aside and said, if you do not let us film you strategizing and telling lies, you will not be featured on the show at all.
Yeah.
And there are people who just can't deal with the cameras there. And that could be what we're seeing with Heather. It could be that she's just boring. Like, we don't know. But for whatever reason, she's not making good enough TV to be shown.
There's one secret scene with Heather that's online. If you go on CBS.com, it's from a few episodes back. But
is it a cameraman yelling at her because she keeps hiding her face about no?
No, it's really bizarre. She tells the whole tribe that she had this dream that Sydney like stole her torch, which is kind of odd because the Luwu tribe hadn't even been to tribal council at all, so they didn't have torches. And it sends everybody into this paranoia, especially Sydney. Sydney's like, is Heather going to try and come after me because she had this bizarre dream? And then it cuts to this confessional where Heather's like, I didn't even have the dream. I made it up because I want to get Sydney out. And maybe me sharing that dream will have other people decide that they also want to get her out. And it's just very bizarre. That line of thinking like doesn't really make sense. But I'm also, it's like maybe Heather just isn't good on confessionals or whatever, but it's crazy. I mean, she has been like a zero on this season. Really weird.
Yeah. And I think earlier this season, there was a very long moment where I thought there were two Tiffanys in the game.
Yeah.
That's where right. I was like, there's Tiffany. Wait, that's Tiffany. No, which one's
Tiffany? Which one? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But now you definitely know who Tiffany is, because I think she's
now
a player.
I know who. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She's fun. We get back to it. And then Xander and Tiffany talk about a tight three with Evie, which is where we left off. Xander talks about playing an idol for Evie, and they talk about it. They're talking about targeting Deshaun in this moment. And then I think that's wise. Like Deshaun, the things I'm seeing from Deshaun, he is very, very smart, very, very good at the game, very, very socially powerful. And I think that's the correct read. Like if you are not on the side with Deshaun, he's the guy to target because he seems so in touch and in tune with the game and the direction of the game and the movements of the game. And we're seeing that from the outside. Who knows what they're specifically seeing, but Evie got that read. And then we get a little flashback where Evie is talking to Tiffany about Liana's advantage. So Tiffany tells Evie and then tells Xander. And so they all see through Liana as she's trying to like talk to him and figure out where the idol's mm-hmm. going, et cetera. And as this is all happening in my mind, the second it happens, I'm like, okay, everybody knows Liana's advantage. Everybody from the opposition knows it. Xander has to give the idol to somebody to hold. And that's my hope and dream. And so I'm hoping that, I'm thinking that that's like the wisest thing to do, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And still tons and tons of scrambling. Like I can't even get into all the scrambling that there is. Like I have like two more pages of notes here. Riley, am I missing anything that's pertinent in the scramble?
My pages of notes, I told you before this, they were 5 pages long, and I went back and rewatched the episode and now they're 7 pages long.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just like Evie tells Xander this, Xander tells Lara this. And there's almost,
I have 3 more paragraphs of that.
There's really too much to go through. It is just so like scramble.
Here was the big thing that I got from, like, I'm just watching Shan a lot in this series. She seems to be one of the more interesting characters to me. And she's really good, you guys. Like the way she played Liana, I mean, she went from being 1 out of 2 people on this tribe. And she's like, I need some allies. I decide I'm going to bond with Liana. We're 2 young Black women. We're going to bond. She's going to be my girl. She doesn't even know her. But what does she do? Information is currency. She tells her everything. She bonds with her about what's going on in their tribe. But then she also tells her life story that's very human and relatable. Now you have this like very human relationship. And then when it's time to get Liana to go with her and her tribe, okay, to go with her and not and do the thing she wants, she goes, you got to put on your big girl pants. We're gonna have to spill some blood at some point. Like she kind of plays to this ego move, like, yeah, you got to show how much we're bonded, right? And I think it's really interesting in the last episode where the 4 African-American players have said, like, we haven't had this much diversity on the show. We're all going to play together. And I think there's a very interesting dynamic that's happening with like this alliance, this group of 4 that wants to play together now. And like, not only does Shan appeal to that, like she's appealing to like, hey, we're part of a group and we're not going to tell everybody like this is our group. We're kind of in they created this group. And now she's already creating this, is like, this group is forged in blood. Like she's saying, you're going to have to spill some blood. Like that was a brilliant pitch that Shan made to Liana, I thought.
Well, the quickest way on Survivor, to your credit here, Ramona, is that if you can get somebody in your alliance to do something dirty as well, and now you're sharing in the blood sport, now it's harder for you guys to separate from each other, and you're essentially locking someone into your side, having them paint themselves into a corner for you. And so whether or not Shan knows exactly that this is what's happening with Liana to her, that essentially is what looks like the future for Liana is that she's going to alienate the other people in the cast still so much that the only place she'll be able to go to is Shan. Obviously, these newer seasons of Survivor, people seem to be less loyal, and they are willing to jump back and forth a little bit and be forgiving of someone who's gone against them. Because I know my initial seasons of Survivor was like, if you go against me one time, you are dead to me. There is nothing you can do to earn back any amount of trust. And then the later seasons, you just have to be like, well, yeah, I hope that I can trust you for this vote at least, and then we'll go our separate ways, and then maybe we'll reconvene three votes down the road and do something again.
Yeah.
And until then, we'll fight with each other. So it's just like, it's crazy. It makes for good TV, but it is, yeah, it's definitely a new style of play, something that we didn't see for the first 10 or 15 years of Survivor that often.
I also think Shan is awesome in that she's the one who executes everything, you know, like she's the one, like Ricard earlier, I think, was coming up with a lot of the ideas of how to get somebody to go, you know, give her, hey, let me hold this for you. this is how you show me when she would get JD to give her his advantages and stuff. But like maybe Ricard came up with the idea, but Shan had to execute. Like that is, what do you think is harder, coming up with the idea or executing?
It's harder to execute, but it's better to be the guy coming up with the idea.
Yeah, because you don't get the stink on you. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. You keep the stink on somebody else as long as you can until you then have to absorb all of the stink.
So that's what's going to be fun, because I think Ricard and Shan are going to play together. Like that feels like the five, and that is a pretty strong group right there. And like Ricard, if he's the strategist and she's the one who's going to basically execute everything, she'll get a ton of credit, but she also might create a lot of enemies.
Right. And I think at some point, Ricard, if let's say Ricard is the guy coming up with the strategies, maybe he's not fully, it seems like Shan is kind of taking the reins to a certain degree as well.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then Ricard at some point is going to have to calculate whether or not Shan doing most of the dirty work is going to win her the game. And if it is, he has to get rid of her and also somehow earn credit for all the stuff Shan did previous.
That's right.
And so that is the trick now for Ricard.
Yeah. And I thought that they've done a nice job planting that seed, right? I mean, you saw that in the episode where they're fighting over, you know, should he give her back the advantage? You know, she went and executed. She went and got, you know, the advantage, right? But from Jenny, right? And Jeannie?
Jeannie.
She went and got the advantage from Jeannie. But maybe it was his idea. I don't know. But she went and got it. Yeah. And then he's holding it for her.
Like, seemed like it was his idea to do the lie about like just saying the phrase and doing some other stuff to throw the heat off of him a little bit. So I think they're a good duo. I'm sure they bounce ideas off of each other a bit. So leading up to Tribal, everything's swirling, everything's going crazy. We see Sydney, and I like Sydney's, she says here that she's going to keep her name off the block at all costs and deal with the repercussions later, which I do love that idea. I think in those moments of desperation, you need to just be like, if I can keep myself safe just for this time and then reset and realign and reshuffle, it at least buys me 3 days to do that. And I love where Sydney's head is at there. She realizes that she's, you know, in the crossfire somewhere and needs to, you know, protect herself. And Liana, right into Tribal Council, right before we go, Liana says she's really looking forward to taking Xander's idol because he's so smug and so smart, and she wants to prove to him. And in my head, I'm like, oh, Xander, please give it to. Like, so I'm really hopeful for this tribal council. And we go to tribal council, trudging through the sand, and then to have a boat pick you up and drive you to a different island, and then get dropped off, and then have a truck pick you up at the
marina. A whole thing.
And then the truck drives you into tribal council, and then they walk you in. Yes. Is this the first time you've heard of that?
Yeah, I didn't know it was all so damn involved. Okay.
Yeah, it's the best time to get a nap.
They didn't
on
get
Survivor.
It to rain. Yeah.
No, they didn't.
It's the best time to what?
It's the best time to take a nap.
Ah, got it.
Because you're not allowed to talk strategy. There's somebody there to keep you from talking completely. So it's the best time to get a little nap in a moving vehicle with the hum of the motor.
How do you sleep?
Have you never slept before, Riley? You just close your eyes and then your body goes into like a subconscious state?
Okay, I understand how you sleep, but I just mean with all the intensity of tribal council, I feel like unless you've got the immunity necklace around your neck, I don't think I'd be able to sleep.
Well, Riley, from the moment you leave the beach to the moment tribal council starts could be like 3 hours of silence.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So here's how it goes. They do the walkout. Sometimes they do the walkout twice. They film it from the sky. Used to always be helicopters. Now it's sometimes drones, but still helicopters get great shots. So it's both. They film you walking down the beach. Then they walk you to where the boat is or the boat pulls up. You jump in the hull of the boat. You're not allowed to look around at your surroundings. And then you take a nap for the 40-minute boat ride to the island where tribal council is. Then they wake you up. You get off the boat one by one, and then they shuffle you to a truck. Then you're in the back of a pickup truck with a bench on both sides with a big wall built around the whole thing so you can't look out or anything. And then you sit there on the bench. Sometimes they leave immediately. Sometimes they wait in a holding pattern until if they need two trucks because the tribe's too big or if there's both tribes or whatever's going on. And then they drive you to the place, whether it's a challenge or tribal council. Then they put you in a tent and you sit on the ground. And that could be 2 hours wait at the tent where they run medical checks. You can talk to the doctors, but other than that, you have to remain silent. So it's just like everyone taking turns going to the bathroom and sitting there trying to take a nap on the ground. And then they come in and say, we're going to be moving in X amount of time. They mic you up. Then you have to get your torch lit by the torch lighter person who has like this flamethrower thing. And then they line you all up in the same order you did the initial walk off the island, and then they walk you in.
So what time does this happen? Is it by the time you sit down and Jeff starts asking questions, is it like midnight?
No, I don't think so, because I think out there, they don't let you know what time anything is. We'd have to talk to some production about it, but you leave with like maybe just barely getting a little dusky, but still light. And you, by the time tribal council starts, it is pitch black nighttime. So island time, you could have left at like 4:30 or 5, maybe 4 even, somewhere in there. And then by the time tribal council starts, could be like 8.
Wow.
So there's lots of nap time there. And after, between traveling to challenges and traveling to tribal council and being exhausted, you're going to use that time to take naps, because there's not a lot of strategizing you can do in those moments, if anything at all.
You can't even talk to production?
No, can't talk to anybody. There's somebody sitting there watching you, making sure you're not talking
shaming
or making
you.
Yeah, shaming you.
Do they go, like, shh? Do they shush you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely degrading. Yeah. Especially for me, where I'm like, I've lived my whole life avoiding careers at all costs, only to have an intern on the set of Survivor shushing me every 10 minutes on a boat ride.
Are you a shusher in real life? Would you shush somebody else?
Would I shush somebody else? No, I'd be a lot more vocal than shush.
You're a shut the hell up guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would shush people. I have.
Like strangers?
Like if I'm on a plane or something and people are just like really loud and obnoxious, I'll be like,
no, I'd like, make a whole production out of it.
I like, do it in the press room. It happens too. Like when people are on deadline, there's a couple famous writers. I'm not going to name names.
Name names.
But when people are, no, I can't do it. It's a really nice lady, but she's a shusher. She gets,
we know she's
really,
female. We know she's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very nice. She gets under pressure. And like, I'm one of those people under pressure. Like I'm good on a deadline. That's kind of why you get into like the, if you're not good on deadline, you're not going to do very well.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's so, probably why you chose the career, was the highs of the deadlines.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like you get, and then when you fit, like I like to rock out when I'm writing, you know, I'll put some music on, I'll just zone out because it's like loud in the press room and stuff.
Okay.
You can't
what
expect
are you
other people
to
shut up. Usually classic rock, but could be anything. Could be just based on what I'm writing on. But I just need to like go in my bubble and just go. And then there's, and there's sometimes I'll get a little loud maybe. But in my early days, I was quiet and I didn't realize the whole, I didn't listen to music. And there was a couple of ladies in the press room who I would see a lot and they were shushers. Like if you just even made, if you were typing too loud, you'd get a, like a very loud shh. Like no conversation. It was just a shh, very loud, very intense shush. This is like an older person who you respect.
Are you aggressive? Are you an aggressive typer? Like when you get into typing, are you like, yeah, word processing in junior high, I can jam these keys so hard because I took word
processing. I talk to myself a little bit. Okay. I'm like, I can talk. I mean, I can be loud not with typing, but I think I'm more like interactive. Like I'm, when I'm writing, like, that's a good line, Mo. No. What we need to do is like, and I talk out loud. I like give myself affirmations in the third person. It happens. Yeah.
Sometimes that's what you got to do to pump yourself up.
Yeah. Well, because when you can't find the story, you have to speak the story. And then you, like, I have a prompt that I always use and I go, this is a story about, and I need to be able to say it in one line or less. If I can't figure that out, it means that I don't know what I'm writing about.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secrets of the trade.
Yeah. So yeah, I can be a shusher, like, and, but I don't do it mean. I'm not like, like aggressively shushing. Yeah. So that, I can't believe it's 3 hours. Like that's so tense.
Yeah. Sitting in tribal council.
Yeah.
Or and then leading up.
I'm already
yeah.
getting claustrophobic thinking about the boat with no windows and stuff.
It's very claustrophobic. Yeah. It's all very, very claustrophobic. And so, yeah. So these guys, they're off to tribal. And to be honest, when tribal started, I was like, we saw all the craziest stuff at camp. And tribal started quite slowly. And I was like trying to come up with a note for the beginning of tribal council. And I was like, maybe there isn't. Maybe everything was already spoken for here. And we're not going to see any fireworks. Riley, did you ever get that feeling?
Well, when they started tribal council, I looked at the, you know, what time it was, and we were at minute 26 of a 42 minute episode. So I was like, okay, Liana's right. Yeah. We're definitely going to get some fireworks. A lot is about to happen.
Yeah. Shan says it comes down to who you trust is still classic Survivor. And, Deshaun makes a plea that, you know, he wished his social abilities counted for more this season than they have been. And Evie knows her name's on the block and hints that Xander will play the idol for her. At this point, I'm like, she's overplaying or overselling the fact that Xander gave his idol.
Well, and Xander, like, he flexes too. He stands up with the idol and shows
it out of his waistband. Yeah.
Yeah. And he kind of did that twice. So, like, if I'm Liana, at that point, you got to figure he's pulling something.
But then he pulls out the fake idol.
Well, I was going to say, like, earlier, like, what'd you think, like, about the acting? He was like, hey, Liana, I'm going to keep the idol on me until Jeff says to pull it out, and, like, kind of walked off. And I was like, Jesus, dude, like, no, how could anybody buy that? And at that point, Liana knew that he knew about her steal advantage. So I didn't understand how Liana didn't suss out, like, Xander definitely does not have the idol. One of either Evie or Tiffany had it.
I thought we were going to get like 10 levels of strategy as they're reacting to what they think the other person is going to do. And so we did get some layers, but not as many layers as we could have gotten. Yeah, so then Xander pulls out his idol. And you said that, Ramona, that he's like kind of like showboating and stuff. And I was like, this is definitely overselling. But then he opens it and reveals what looks to us to be an idol.
Yeah. Yeah, does. I mean, and he had made that a long time ago, remember? Like that was...
Did that cross your mind that it was fake? Right, as he pulled it out?
I thought he had given it to somebody else. Like I just, it was so... I thought they were hinting at that, and it would have been really dumb not to give it to somebody else.
Right,
but not to either give it to Evie or Tiffany early.
Yeah, and I thought that too, but at the same time, you also have to consider that. People do dumb things on Survivor all the time.
True. And when she wants, do you want to, I don't want to get ahead. I don't want to get, do you want to reveal?
No, I want you to get ahead.
Okay. So when Liana stands up and she's like, well, I'll take your idol, Xander, right? Like she reads it off and she does it like with such conviction. And I'm like, come on, you got to know. Like at some point, just like, you're like watching her walk into it. And you're like, I know that he doesn't have, there's no way he.
But it felt good to watch it though, right?
It did. She really watched it. I thought, I was like, come on, girl, go take Nasir's idol. Go do something else. Like, Xander, do you have an idol? I'm like, of course he has an idol, but he's giving it to, if you don't figure out he's giving it away to somebody else, you don't deserve to even have that advantage anymore.
So good. She was so nearsighted in wanting to just like humiliate Xander because she feels like Xander doesn't respect her. And so she does this, and Xander in this moment is like, here's your, you can have it. It's just a fake idol, but you're welcome to it. Here you go. And she, in that moment, had to have been fuming, right? Yeah. She thought she was getting him so good, and then she just gets got again.
I'd be pissed, man. And it's also like she saw that. She was saying it. Like Liana says to Shan, does he actually have to have the idol? Don't you think he could give it to somebody else? I'm like, it's not like the thought didn't occur to her.
But Shan does a couple reads here that are incorrect. She does the read where she's like, oh, Xander's not giving it to anybody. Like she's the one that actually, I think Shan, that came out of Shan's mouth. And then later on in this tribal council, there's a point where she's like, Deshaun says, I think they're saying my name. And she's like, that doesn't matter. We're good. And he's like, no, it does matter. Hold up. So Shan, I think either she's missing things or she's so confident now in her gameplay that she's starting to miss things. But
here's the other thing, Tyson. Okay. It's one thing to miss something when it affects you.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying.
It's another thing to miss something when it affects somebody else.
If
right?
you don't, you're not looking at it as intensely and she is not. And she's not also showing, what is it? Empathy for the person who is in the crossfires or the target. And that's something you have to do on Survivor is like, if you come to me as my alliance and say, I'm worried it's me, I don't just reassure you that it's not. I have to be like, what will make you feel comfortable? What do we have to do? How do we change the game together so that we're good and you're good? And that's something Shan didn't do a couple times here where she's like, you're totally probably fine. And we also get that flashback at Tribal, right? When Liana plays that for Xander, of Xander not giving it to Evie like we all were led to believe, but even going one step further, which was brilliant in giving it to Tiffany. And I thought that was such a brilliant move to go to the person who hadn't really been being talked about at all. And so really, really smart to give it to Tiffany. Evie then says, hey, I can't trust Liana now. And Liana's like, well, it is what it is. You know, lines are drawn. This is bad news, I think, for Liana. She's definitely drawn a hard line in the sand of where she stands, which is always bad on Survivor when you have to do that. You do have to do that in certain situations, but the later you do it, the better. And so Liana having to expose herself this early in the game could be detrimental.
And also think about where she was. She's in the group that had numbers.
Yeah.
Shan was on the group that was a group of two that got split under two teams. Like the fact that Shan is not in the line of fire and has flipped it to where Leanne is in the line of fire. That's pretty intense. You shouldn't ever allow you when you're up here, you should never take a step down. Right.
But you see that time and time again. It's the classic, like, you get to the merge, you have the huge majority. You don't trust everybody in yours, and you know you can't trust anybody in the merging tribe. So why not get rid of a few of yours before they team up with the smaller tribe coming in? That's classic. There's no way Shan or Ricard are probably going this episode just based on history alone, in the fact that the weakest, smallest tribe coming into tribal council at the merge is generally pretty safe. Except for the first season, RIP Pagong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it comes down to trust. And if you get to the merge with the majority, but there's definitely people on there that you didn't have time to cut out before you get to the merge, you're like, okay, there's only two of them. We have six of us. We could trim it all the way down to three before we have to target them. And then it's like a whole thing. And that happens so often in Survivor, and people from the outside are always wondering why it happens. It happens because those people are a non-threat in that situation because they don't have the numbers and they're desperate. Yeah. And their desperation also shows the people at the top on the majority that they're willing to work anywhere, and you don't want them coupling with the people who perceive themselves to be on the bottom of the majority alliance. So there's a lot that goes into it, but in general, like if you are in a bad position at the merge, you're not in a terrible position. If you're in a bad position right before the merge, once the merge happens, you're usually not in a terrible position.
This is also a good time to point out another rule of Survivor, which is never throw challenges or always, it's like bad Survivor karma. Okay. And I kept thinking as Deshaun's name was coming out, like everybody was like, Deshaun. And I was like, dude, he was the guy who wanted to throw the challenge. Uh-huh. Right? Remember? And he couldn't even throw the challenge because Nasir wasn't in on it.
Right.
Like, it, what I did I say, Tyson?
Riley also
says Tyson, I had a disagreement about this on a previous podcast. I am against throwing challenges almost always.
I will throw a challenge if there's somebody I strongly, strongly mistrust on my tribe, which is the majority tribe at the time, and I know that the merge is coming up soon.
Yeah.
It's better to get rid of them there than to wait till they can connect with other players and defect and then shake up the game.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
I generally think it's bad karma, but I also have never won Survivor like you have. So it's just, I'll defer to you on that one.
We tried throwing a challenge too that we couldn't lose. Yeah. And,
okay.
And we tried throwing it to get rid of Colton. It didn't happen. And then Rachel was actually the one voted out on that tribe that episode. So in my mind, I was like, if I would have thrown it, Rachel would have been safe. Colton would have been gone. He ended up quitting anyways. So it might have been for everyone's best interests. Worked out okay. I won the game. But still, like, I think there is a time and a place. You probably have to be quite strategic in your assessment of that. But I think that there's definitely a time and a place to lose a challenge on purpose. And once Riley sees it my way, we'll know he's matured into a full grown.
I think if Rachel had stayed on that season, I don't know if you would have won. I feel like you becoming a single on that season helped you on your path to winning.
Sure, I agree. In hindsight, yes. But in the moment, I don't think it would have affected my game negatively. Like,
yeah,
right,
it's impossible
after
to know.
It's impossible to know, but yeah, throwing the challenge there, getting rid of Colton, who ended up quitting anyways. And so we ended up losing a number that wasn't really with us without even going to tribal council anyways. So then you're kind of like, okay, yeah. Let's get back here because this keeps this whirlwind at tribal council. It ends up going live and, everyone is talking to everybody. And I don't mind this live tribal council. Generally, I really don't like them because they're hard to follow. Get your work in before you get to tribal council and then keep tribal council short and sweet and then vote. But this one goes live and everybody's whispering to everybody. Deshaun's whispering to Erica to vote Sydney, and Evie whispers something to Tiffany that we don't see. That's where I don't like it. I like to see the strategy materialize. And then it seems like Sydney's name is the name being thrown out the most for a moment. And now we're seeing Deshaun's name being thrown out. And I thought it was interesting to note that while all of this is going down, Heather and Erica do not leave their seats at all.
Yeah, that's true.
They just camp out. And I think I mean, there's something to just camping out and letting the information come to you. Mm-hmm. But unless you're the target, then you gotta, you know, get in the conversations. So what would you do in that moment, Ramona? Are you up and trying to get information from everybody? Are you playing it cool? Yeah. Are you shushing people?
I'd like to think I would play it cool, but I don't think I would. I think I'd be too nervous. I'd want to talk. My undoing would be that I talk too much. Like I can't, like I'd be too excited and I'm not a great liar. And so the right answer is that you're supposed to stick with your people and not overdo it, right? Because the more you talk, the all of a sudden then all of a sudden it could be flipped around on you. Like I've seen those where somebody's like not even a target and they're doing too much work.
Yep.
They're just talking too much. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait, why don't we get you out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So happens all the time.
Yeah. When somebody's desperate, okay, that's fine. You should play hard. If you're one of the names that's being tossed out, but if you're not a name that's being tossed out, I don't know. I was waiting for someone to stand up and make a scene too. Yeah. There could have definitely been a scene.
Be like, we're all voting for this person. This is what we're doing. This is our case.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote this way. If you want to join me, join me type of thing. Yeah. They could have done that.
There wasn't one moment though. I thought this was like a sneaky good play when Deshaun ratted out Evie.
Yes. Right? I did.
Remember
like that.
Deshaun?
So we'll get to that right here. Everybody sits down and Jeff's like, are we ready to vote? And Shan's like, yeah, we are. And Deshaun's like, no, we're not. And he congratulates Xander on the move. And then he throws, who does he throw under the bus?
Evie.
He throws Evie under the bus for sharing
the idol. Remember Xander and Evie had just said, like, Evie was like, well, I never said anything that Xander didn't have a vote the last few times. And it means a lot to me that he would give me the idol tonight. Remember he made a big show of like, I'll play it for you. And she's like, and Evie's like, oh yeah, well, that's great. Cause I never said anything that you didn't have a vote those last few votes. Right. And Deshaun was like, that's nice, Evie. But when we went on our walkabout, you told me everything. You told me that he had the idol.
Right.
he totally exposed Evie there.
Yeah. It was, I liked that too. I did like that. Cause he knows that he's on the block and he's trying to create mistrust against the people who are going against him. And then,
which factors into to Xander's decision to give Evie the idol at the end here.
Yes.
Like, is he really going to play it for Evie?
Yes. And in this moment, I think that if I'm Xander, I'm not playing the idol.
Hell no.
You're in the strong minority at this moment.
Yes.
So at this point in my mind, I'm like, Xander, do not let the idol be played for anybody. Keep it for yourself for next tribal council and then try to play it in a way, in any way that you can, even if it's just protecting yourself or whatever. And so that was my initial thought. Deshaun goes to Shan and says, asks if Tiffany knows that they're writing down Sydney. And Shan's like, it doesn't matter. And Deshaun's like, yeah, it does. It does matter. Like, again, Deshaun is so perceptive. And I think thinking ahead and thinking everything through, and he's so cerebral when in these moments of pressure. And this is the other moment where Shan says, oh, it doesn't really matter. She's not taking into account the feelings and concerns of
good point.
Her top allies.
Yeah.
And so it goes around and we pretty much are of the opinion that it's going to be Deshaun from the other tribe. Or Deshaun, Sydney, Tiffany, Evie, and Xander, and maybe Nasir are going to vote Deshaun. And then Deshaun gets pulled, Nasir gets pulled to the other group. And they talk to him, and we understand that it's going to be split between Sydney and Evie. And so it's pretty interesting breakdown. Everybody sits down and everybody is now ready to vote. And we see Tiffany's vote come out first as she's sitting there writing. She writes down Deshaun's name, no surprise. Ricard votes Evie's name, no surprise. Erica votes Sydney's name, no surprise, but those are the three players. And then we see Deshaun toy with the idea of playing the shot in the dark. And in my mind, I'm like, oh no, Riley's going to get his first point here on our 10 Bitcoin wager that we have.
10 Bitcoin. He thinks
that
that's a lot.
I don't have 10 Bitcoin.
I mean, it's
how much did you get your prize money in Bitcoin, Tyson?
Bitcoin. I wish I would have.
Man, yeah. Back yeah, then, they paid 2012. You in Bitcoin? Oh my God.
Yeah, so we see that, and our wager, Ramona, is Riley thinks that the shot in the dark advantage is going to be played over 2.5 times. Does this count as a halftime here that we saw? Is that a half when you contemplate it in the booth?
No. It's three or more, basically.
Like three or more.
The line that you set, you know, like that Vegas would set, I think it should have been 2.5.
Okay. So the Vegas line that...
You go three or more, two or under. Yeah. So we're at one now.
So, well, we see Deshaun Toy with it, but we don't see what he does. Then the votes are read. And before the votes are read, Sydney says she played the shot in the dark. And in my mind, I am praying and hoping and fingers crossed that she is safe. Then they play the idol on Evie and turn this game into a game. She's not safe. But 1 in 6 shot, we knew she probably wouldn't be. Her face kind of said that she was as she was reading it. I thought that was kind of like a fun little slow roll that she did there. And man, I would have loved that to go the other way for her. That would have been so much fun to see that play out.
Did you like Sydney as a player?
I liked her as a character.
Yeah.
I thought she was fun as a character. I thought I liked her directness. And she probably reminds me of a younger first generation Tyson, like a Tokenshin style Tyson player.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. So I do like her. And then Tiffany, who's holding the idol for Xander at this moment, looks back and says, should we play this? Xander's like, no way we should play this. No way. That's what he's thinking. And he has to convince them, and because he needs to save it. They're the minority now. Even if they shift things and Deshaun goes this time, like, he understands that that's not happening at this moment, no matter what. Because if they split the votes between Evie and
Sydney,
they're going to have 4 and 4. And they only have 4 total, which will then go to a revote, which then that person will go home anyways. So I'm assuming Xander is already understanding this and realizing that it doesn't matter.
So there was another play that could have been made, though. Okay. So I think if Sydney was thinking further ahead, okay, if Sydney was really Tyson, early Tyson, okay?
Okay.
Sydney should have voted for Evie. Don't play your shot in the dark. Vote for Evie. Why would Sydney vote for Deshaun? Throw another vote on Evie and save yourself. Because if there's a chance it's split, that extra vote would have sent Evie home.
I love it. And let me run something else past you. Why didn't Tiffany use her extra vote to put on Deshaun and have Sydney also vote that way? And then he would have been gone as well.
Yeah. But they didn't have enough time. They didn't figure it all out. And by the way, did Deshaun use his extra vote? I thought he did.
He did. He did.
He used an extra vote and he put one on Tiffany. He put one on each.
I think he put them both on Evie, but that gave him using the extra vote. They had 4 on Evie and 5 on Sydney. So even if Sydney had used her vote on Deshaun and they used the extra vote on Deshaun, that's 5 on Deshaun. It's a 5-5 split. Sydney goes home. Still.
But I don't think they realized Deshaun had an extra vote of that. I mean, how are you going to figure all that out when you're whispering at tribal council?
Evie knew that he had the extra vote because she went to Shipwell Island with him. So she would have remembered
Evie did
her
know that.
Choice on the thing. Yeah.
But I don't even understand necessarily why Deshaun played it.
Yeah. They wouldn't have known
that. That makes sense now. Because it's
but
four,
it was smart
four,
of him.
Four. Yeah.
He was smart of him to play it because he probably knew that Xander had an extra vote. So he was like, the max they can do is put 5 on me. So if I use my extra vote, and obviously he had coordinated this with his alliance because they, you know, he actually put them both on Evie. You only have 4, but the fact that they got 5 votes on Sydney meant they're good. Like they are set basically, I guess, unless they'd used the idol. Well, unless the shot in the dark advantage goes differently, or they use the idol and the extra vote and they get 5 on Deshaun and they use the idol.
Or
correctly
Sydney
on Sydney.
Would have voted for Evie. But, like when you're, when that, you know, it's between happens, you and somebody else, like, there's always it's being split, you vote for the person that it's being split between.
But the thing is that because I've been in the scenario.
You're turning on your alliance, right?
Yeah, but the scenario is that, like, I've approached people and been like, hey, the votes are being split. You got to vote this way or you're going home. There's too much pride there. And you feel like, oh, they're just gaming me anyways. And now I'm going to look extra dumb because I'm going to do the thing they told me to do. And then it ended up not working out for me anyways. So think that, like, in this moment, it's probably a little bit different, and Sydney possibly should have voted Evie. But I liked the shot in the dark play too. I think what should have happened is they all should have played their shot in the dark, everybody in that alliance. And can you pass the shot in the dark to another person?
Okay, now, this is the question I have about shot in the dark. Is it 1 in 6 for each person? So the odds, they're the same for each one.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like, okay, yeah.
So let's say all four of them rolled their shot in the dark. One of them got it and said, I'm not playing this for myself, though. I'm playing it for Evie. And then the idol gets played on Sydney. I think that would have been a pretty fun play as well. We didn't get it. What we got was Sydney going home. And that was heartbreaking because she was a fun character. And her closing remarks, I'm glad I'm not on the jury so I don't have to see any of their faces ever again.
That's great.
Whatever That's I great. Have outside the game is 500 kajillion times better than what they have. Something like that.
I love it. I love it. That's like I like the angry ones, the like the FUs, you know, like when people are out there. Yeah. Screw you. Come on.
And it is like, true. It is true though. Like to be on the jury and select one of those people to win $1 million, like you really don't care at that point. It's not you. You're just like, get me out of here. And now
and you've
you
also been like hanging out forever.
Yes.
Just want to go home, right?
Yes, exactly. You just want to go home. Then we get the next episode teaser. Next episode. Shan wants Evie out. Liana wants Tiffany out. Danny wants Nasir out. Lots of people want Xander out. Some people actually want Heather out.
Who's Heather again?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, this is the part when I saw that, I was like, okay, I love Survivor so much. And I don't know if it needs all of this. Like we may be bordering on a little too much. Like there may be too many twists and too many advantages and too many idols and too many things that are out there, because like when there's just chaos, like it's almost like the first vote, right? When there's just like the first vote and there's like, I don't know, 3 votes on one person, there's not really an alliance yet. I think by now you really want to start seeing alliances forming and people like, and I don't know if it's making it possible for that to happen. I think there just might be too much chaos.
Right. Which, I mean, chaos is good TV.
Yeah.
It does make it hard to navigate the game in a way that is strategic. And so, yeah, it remains to be seen. I think I like this episode.
I did, yeah.
I would rate it pretty high as a grade. What grade would you give it out of, let's go old school with A+ being the highest?
Oh, I think that's more like a B+, A-.
Okay.
Because there were moments where it could have been better, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There could have been a few extra layers there.
Could have been a little more. Like, I mean, he sold it as like the most power any player has ever had in the game. I thought for sure when he said that, she was going to be on exile the whole. No, I thought she was going to have be on exile until the end. Like, you can stay here on exile until the end of the game, or you can return to the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could just decide to stay there, and like
that would have been a pretty cool decision too, actually.
And like, also, there's this poor young girl who like can't even be out there for one night, and she's like, oh, "Shit, I got to stay here the whole time."
Yeah, no, that would have been a great choice.
That's a lot of power.
That would have been a great choice. Like, you come back in at 5 if you choose to stay here till that time. Man, that would have been a fun twist. Jeff Probst, I know he's listening to this, so that's just some ideas for next time.
He sold it. I like that they're playing with the game. I like that they're trying different things. Did they make it shorter this year because of COVID? Is that why?
Yeah, that's initially why.
They just wanted to see why it was. Yeah,
because
okay.
Everybody had to quarantine before the show, so they're already gone for that amount of time.
Yeah,
and then if you quarantine and then do 39 days, you're also quarantining all of production as well. So then that's hugely expensive to keep 400 employees out for 2 more weeks. Plus, the contestants are now gone 9 weeks instead of 7 weeks. So yeah, so they shortened it. Although I think if they like it, they could keep it. And I don't mind it. So any closing remarks on the episode before we get into Riley's beard update?
I thought it was a good twist. I'm really enjoying, I think Shan to me is the most exciting character that I've seen, because I love her inner struggle where she's like this, you know, good girl in real life. And then she has her I mean, she also seems like she knows the show. So like, I can tell when somebody's playing, when they know, oh, my job is to make good TV here. And I need to be entertaining in my confessionals and come up with things that they'll have fun with. Like, that's why I always thought you understand the show. Like, you know what you're doing out there, right?
Yes.
Like, you're on there and you're making good TV. Rob was always like that. I mean, there's, you know, there's people who play, they understand you're a character out there.
Yeah. Your check will be in the mail.
Yeah. And the person you are in the game is different than maybe the person you are in the confessionals. And you understand that what you're saying in the confessionals is going to air live, you know, however long later, 6 months later from when you tape or something. And it's not, but the people you're playing with aren't going to know.
No, they're going to see it the first time. Yeah, the best part is them.
So I think she's going to be the big reveal, because I think the way she's playing in the game, I think she seems like the nice girl. Right. Like, I don't think she showed the devious side to anybody in the game.
So there, the cast is calling her every week being like, what? I didn't know you were scheming like that.
Yeah. Although by the end, maybe they will. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like she's going to get pretty far.
Yeah, they should figure it. If they don't figure it out by the end, she's winning this thing.
Yeah.
Riley, let's turn it over to you. How's your beard going? I don't know if you knew this about us, Ramona, but on day one, we decided to grow 26 day beards because that's not like a real Survivor beard.
Sure.
And then we decided to go to 39 days because 26 days was so easy. And day 39 came and went a few days ago, but this is the first time we've met to talk about it. Riley, we're at what, day 42?
43.
43, past Survivor Australia, which was the longest US version of Survivor.
Yes.
How do you feel?
You know, I mean, it's kind of similar to last week. I don't love it. I think I'm just not a facial hair guy. I'm at the point
I set you up to say it's growing on me.
Oh,
that's, well, all right. I'm sorry. I missed that one.
That's okay.
It's growing on me, but it's not growing on me.
Okay. It's growing on you physically, but not emotionally or,
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Exactly. Like the mustache, like it kind of like touches my lips now in a way that's like very unpleasant. Don't like it.
Wait till it touches your food as you put it in your mouth, because that's where I'm at.
The great thing is I won't, because I feel like now I'm done. I it's 43. We're at the end of how long a Survivor season has ever been for the US, and I don't think I can go on any longer, Tyson. I know you're gonna try and twist my arm here, but I'm pretty set. I think I'm gonna shave this thing off literally in like 10 minutes when we hop on this pod.
Riley,
it's really just kind of a mustache and goatee. It's not, I mean, there's just kind of patches on the side there though.
Ramona, it's so much worse in person because you're getting the Zoom version where it's all the internet like helps kind of make us all fuzzy. This part, it like around my cheeks and my jawline, it's so bad. It's just the scraggly hairs that stick out. Like it's honestly disgusting. I can't do it any longer.
Riley, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. We should see how we look if we won Australian Survivor, which is what, 55 days?
Oh, like the actual Australian Survivor?
Yeah, the actual Australian Survivor, the Australian version of Survivor.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then we should see what it would be like to play two Survivor seasons back to back, like some contestants have done in the past.
But they shave in between. They get
probably,
a few weeks
off. We don't know that for sure. Let's just see if we can do it. You know?
Do you just get to a point where you don't care about how much you stink or how bad you look
out there or in real life?
No, out there.
Out there. Although once your mustache starts growing into your mouth, it's pretty annoying. And when your fingernails and toenails get extra long, that's also gross. And so there are some things where you're just like, I just wish I had fingernails, because I cannot bring myself to bite my fingernails.
They let the women shave their arms though, right?
Nope.
It seems like they do.
No, the camera's just not fully picking it up, but you'll see shots of hairy armpits and stuff.
Oh.
So yeah.
See,
but
that
a lot
would
of,
bug me.
A lot
that
of
would
them,
be like one of my
A lot of them go get laser before.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. So then smart. There's that. So if you are that concerned with it, then you would go get your laser hair treatments and stuff.
Like, I think quarantine's taught me, like, I don't care about smelling. Like, it's just, people just smell sometimes.
A beautiful natural thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Matthew McConaughey just like leaned in. He was like, I don't smell anymore.
And you're like, yes, you do.
You don't smell yourself anymore?
That's so good.
By the way, nobody said anything about my V. Stiviano hat. Like, this is a collector's item here.
Riley?
Yeah. It's great.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the Donald Sterling... Ramona,
mistress.
You can explain it. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
It's the Donald Sterling mistress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just pulled this out from a little while ago and I was
you did a podcast on the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Did the big 30 for 30 on it. And she was like the one person that like is just the best character. And so I had the hat from a friend of mine had got some at the time, and I was like, I can wear these to Tiana Pod. Like, she hasn't had any like shout outs in a while, I think.
It's time to bring her back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It took me a minute to remember. I was like, Vista Viana, I recognize that name, but it took me a minute to actually remember who that was, because it has been a minute.
Yeah. Well, she had the visor, remember? She did like the Daft Punk visor, and she'd go roller skating and stuff. And she sold those. But I don't know. I mean, they'd probably be worth something somewhere, right? Somebody's got to collect those.
Yeah. There's a market for everything, right?
Yeah. It's not quite an NFT or anything, but
not yet. Riley, are we going 55 days or no?
I'd love to see you go 55 days, but I'm out. I can't. I go to the grocery store now, and I feel like it's on the sides of like my mask, it's like people can see that I just look like a ridiculous lazy person who hasn't shaved in a month.
Such good character building for you, though. You know. Like, it's really been fun. Building that
it's
character.
It's a good experiment. And I encourage people at home to try it to see what they'll learn about themselves. But I think I'm at the end of the road for me.
Well, next season, we're going to beat our record and go 44 days.
We can discuss it.
Okay, we'll discuss it. We're going to put it in your contract, actually. Riley, we have your survivor superlatives.
Yeah, let's run through them.
Ramona,
we do this every week. We just kind of do a few and sort of, it's pretty quick and easy. All right, so let's do best move of the episode.
I thought the best move was Xander giving his idol to Tiffany.
The best play, I thought, was just Deshaun's read on the game in general. Like at camp, it seemed like he always had his finger on the pulse. And also in tribal council, it seemed like he had a read on everything and knew that he needed to remaneuver a little bit before they went to voting. So I would say just Deshaun's read on the game in general was the best play. So Riley, what do you think was the best play of the game?
Yeah, I think it was Xander just somehow getting the votes off of Evie, but also keeping his idol. And even though Sydney goes home, obviously he's not nearly as tight with Sydney as he is with Evie. So I thought that was pretty, like, zooming out, I was like, that is actually pretty impressive that they made it out of here both with the idol and with Evie.
Yeah.
Right. That was impressive. Okay, fine. All right. Maybe your choices are better than mine.
Well, I don't know. It's just an opinion. Worst move.
Worst move for me was initially I had written that Tiffany not playing the extra vote. But then when you broke it down and said that Deshaun had played his extra vote and Tiffany's extra vote would not have mattered anyways, then... Man, I don't know. Probably Sydney playing the shot in the dark and not just voting for Evie.
Okay. Ramona?
I'll say Liana not figuring out that Xander gave the idol to somebody else, right? I mean, that was obvious that he was doing... I mean, I just thought he was over the top. As you said, his acting was not all that, convincing.
I thought it was just everybody... telling everyone about everything. Like almost everybody made this error. But I thought especially Xander telling everybody that he knew about Liana's advantage. It's like, you want her to play it incorrectly. So don't let her know, you know, it'll get back to her. Don't let her know that, you know, because then she could have thought, hey, it's probably in Tiffany's pocket. Actually,
that was actually pretty dumb of him. I saw that too. But if that was going to be the worst move, that's going to be the worst move for every Survivor episode from here on out till the end of time, I think.
It's unreal. So at some point, someone's going to realize to keep one thing to themselves, and then that person's going to win Survivor.
You do think so. Yeah, you think that's totally going to happen. Okay, what else do you have?
Favorite moment.
Ramona, you have a favorite moment off the top of your head?
I thought it was kind of good when Erica came back and she'd had her two nights in the wilderness. And she had, you know, like she got through it and she found some inner strength, right? Like I always like those because I do think that would probably be really hard. I mean, you could do it because you've been on Survivor a number of times, right? Like you know how to have a night in the wilderness, but that was definitely hard for her and she made it okay. And she didn't cry. She almost did a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quivering.
If she did, they would have showed her, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Sitting there in the rain.
She was tough. She got through it. I'm glad she broke the hourglass too. That would have been stupid if she didn't.
Make history. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was the whole Xander and Lyanna battle. Like, I loved the back and forth there and like wondering who was going to like beat who by what degree as they shifted and maneuvered and were trying to predict what the other person was going to do and trying to persuade the other person to do the thing they wanted him to do. And I just liked watching that all play out. I wish I loved Xander giving the idol and advantage to Tiffany instead of Evie. That was genius. Because he had gotten rid of it almost by 2 degrees of separation there. And then I was really hoping that Lyanna then would have adjusted knowing he was going to do something like that by taking Nasir's idol instead, like we discussed earlier, but still really fun to watch it play out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine too, especially when Xander, when Lyanna asks like, oh, do you have an idol? And Xander kind of paused for a second and he was like, oh, you can have
slow
this fake.
Roll.
I don't even dislike Lyanna, but I was just like, oh, that feels so good. Like, got her.
I like Lyanna too. And that still felt so good to me too. That's how I felt. I was like, why do I like this so much when I have always loved Lyanna on the show? And then, but at the same time, like, I was like, I want Xander to get her, but then I want her to get him back. And then I want him to get her. Like, I was like, I just want it to like go like seven levels deep. So,
Okay, front runner to win.
I mean, for me, just the way I'm seeing Deshaun maneuver, I feel like he's so smart and strong and thinking, but he's also very exposed right now. If he can kind of sink back into the shadows a little bit, I think he's got a great shot. If not, I'm going to go with Nasir just based on the fact that like he's kind of avoided the chaos a little bit and has kind of bounced in between and everybody kind of feels like he's their buddy and nobody's really counting him as a threat.
Okay. He'd be a disappointing winner to me because I don't feel like I've seen him strategize. I like people who win, who strategize. I'm going to give you an answer of who I think will win and who I want to win.
Okay.
I want Shan to win. I am impressed with her in the way she's just doing stuff. I like the way she plays relationships and the way she thinks. I think she's probably playing too hard and I think people are going to figure that out. So I don't think she will win. I like your call on Deshaun, but I'll go a little different on that because I think he'll be, I honestly think it could be like a Tiffany. Like she's so not in the firing line. She's a vote that people would want to carry to the end. She's not really going to win any challenges. Seems to be pretty social. Doesn't seem like a threat. Like I feel like she could make it kind of to the end. Somebody will just take her for a while. And then she is a pretty good social player though. And I feel like she could just be one of those winners that kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah. I like that choice. I think that's a good like surprise.
Definitely
like,
not come Heather from... though. No offense to Heather. Yeah. It seems like a perfectly nice lady, but we just have...
Who is Heather?
Yeah. The other Tiffany.
The other Tiffany. Riley, who do you got?
Yeah, I'd say I feel like a lot of people are in the mix for me, but I like Deshaun too as an answer. He was somebody I didn't really think was in the mix before this episode, but he just had the right read on everything. And I liked how they focused on his social game and how he's well liked. And I think that's the type of person who often wins.
Yeah.
Like 4 times he had the correct read when people were telling him that he was just being like paranoid and trying to shrug it off.
But his name has already come up. So like the fact that his name has come up as somebody to vote for, I don't like that. Usually you want to be a little in the shadows, you know?
If his name sinks back and we don't hear his name for an episode or two, then I think he will be then a strong frontrunner. Yeah.
And I could see Evie too, by the way, like Tiffany or Evie could be those kind of good. Evie could win some challenges too. Like Evie could win an immunity challenge at the right time and get in there, you know, as a, you know, I didn't say Evie because her name already came up, right? Like she on the firing line today.
I've said Evie previously for this. And I think it's, as far as like Evie and Deshaun's names coming up, it's hard because most of the tribe was immune at this one. So there were a limited number of people whose names even could come up. Evie came up because she was the only non-Luvu that was vulnerable. So maybe if it had been a normal all 12 people, like maybe she would have been in the shadows.
Evie seems well liked too. Like people seem to like a nice social player too.
Yeah.
She was a victim of circumstance, kind of.
She was. She definitely was. And that's just, you know, Survivor, not fair. It's not fair, Riley.
Nope. Okay, we can do the last one. The last one is, who do you think will be the next boot?
I think Evie. I think, I think people are now recognizing that she is a threat and she skated by this time, even though she kind of was the person people wanted gone. And the fact that Xander still has his idol will spook people from voting Xander. And I think that even Xander himself, when Deshaun said that Evie had told him stuff about Xander, then Xander now maybe isn't even as tight with Evie as he was. Mm. So I feel like she's kind of left out a little bit here.
I think Ricard is in a dangerous position because I think there's an alliance for Liana, Shan, Danny, and Deshaun. I think are a pretty strong alliance. He's number five on that.
Right. He's on the outskirts and doesn't know it.
Yeah. And they could easily take Ricard out or Nasir out if they, that they could be taken out or they could sacrifice one of their own. Now, Danny seems to have this thing about not voting the guys out. So maybe it really will be a woman, but I don't know. I'm kind of foreseeing this sort of Tiffany and Heather sort of get carried as votes coming up. So it feels like it's going to be a guy to me.
Right. Yeah.
Use those we'll votes. See. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say Ricard as well, because he wasn't shown on this episode to be reconnecting with Shan. He wasn't shown to be connecting with really anybody. And he threw out Nasir. He was like one of the first, they all got together and he was like, who are you thinking? And he was like, oh, I'm kind of thinking Nasir. And everybody was like, yeah, no, we're not voting Nasir. So I don't know if he has a good read with these other people, at least with what the edit has shown us. And if he had been vulnerable this episode, Ramona, like you were saying earlier,
yeah,
I think that he probably would have been in the Evie or probably worse off than Sydney. Even he would have been super vulnerable.
Yeah. Although he seems like the type who will realize he's on the bottom and start making moves.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited
not
to see.
Not a sitting duck out there.
No, definitely not. And no, yeah. A lot of them aren't. Like that's what's making the season so fun. Like Deshaun fighting this tribal council. So, hopefully lots of fireworks in our future. That does it for The Pod Has Spoken this episode. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We don't have time for a super follower call in from my Twitter account. Hopefully next time. Ramona, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you? All things Ramona.
Yeah.
Twitter. You're on Twitter. You're on Instagram.
On Twitter and Instagram. Instagram's kind of turned into pictures of my kid all the time. I don't know. So I'm mostly on Twitter. You can hit me at Ramona Shelburne or I'm on NBA Today on Mondays and Wednesdays usually. So check out that if you want. Also, if you're just driving out in LA, I'm always on 710 ESPN. If you're listening to sports talk driving around.
I thought you were going to tell us your physical location in Los Angeles where we'd be like I-10 at 5:30 to 9:30 in traffic.
Go ahead. Go drive out there. 5:30 to 9. Yeah. Let's see if I'm there. Let's just see.
Okay. I may as well check it out. I don't got a lot going on. Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. We'll follow you all of those places. Yep. Riley, you're on Twitter too, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Twitter is the only place where you'll find anything interesting from me. So maybe I'll tweet out a photo of my mug after I shave this.
Before and after, please. We need a day 43 next to a freshly shaven Riley. Also,
all right, we can make that happen.
Riley, I also saw on Twitter before we closed that your beard is getting mentions on other Ringer podcasts,
which
is bringing you more fame and notoriety, which means that I've actually done you a favor.
It was an athletic podcast, actually. Yes. One of my writers here, Ben Solak, who went on the athletic show, and he just for some reason, first thing he starts talking about is how terrible my beard looks and how ugly it is. And I was like,
yeah,
thanks, man. Really appreciate the shout out on the athletic NFL show.
You know when you really made it? When your beard gets its own Twitter account.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So that's something we have to look forward to. And Riley, we'll learn with time, Ramona, that any press is good press.
Yeah.
And with that, we are done. We did it.